Luke 24, 36 through 47. While Jesus was still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem."
The resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of the Christian faith. I've said that many times. By that, I mean so much more than just the fact that our belief in the resurrection of Christ separates us from any other religion or faith system. And that much is definitely true. Ours is the only belief system whose founder claims to have risen from the dead. Our Christian theology and our doctrine is based on the belief that we can only be spared from the righteous judgment of God because not only did Jesus pay the penalty on our behalf when he became the innocent sacrifice for our sins, but he conquered death and the grave by rising from the dead and making it possible for us to live again, even though our bodies will die. This is what we believe. And it's true that you cannot call yourself a Christian if you do not believe this. But Easter has to mean more to you than just an acknowledgement of Christian doctrine. It has to be the basis of your faith, and that it's only because of the Easter story that you can say that you know Jesus. You know him as your personal Savior, as your personal Redeemer, as your personal friend. I want to look today at the reason why I'm saying this. It was the resurrection that indicated who it was that really knew Jesus. Let's think about this. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to a number of different people at a number of different times. We had a great video this morning at Sunday school talking about the verification of the resurrection. At one time, 500 people witnessed his resurrected body. So it is a documented, verified fact. Yet, it still has been disputed over the centuries whether this is some sort of fable or some kind of maybe a figurative story or just something that a lot of religious people made up. Now, you would think if more people had seen Christ's resurrected body and secular history could have recorded it, then no one could really doubt that it happened. And we wouldn't have to do so much persuading for people to believe in Jesus. But it didn't happen that way. Only certain people were privileged enough to see the tremendous sight of Jesus being alive again after he was dead, his body raised from the tomb and standing right before them. And each time it happened, there are circumstances that, in my strong opinion, indicate that while this was really and truly the body of Jesus which had been crucified and which was dead and laying in the tomb, that there was something different about the appearance of that glorified, resurrected body that looked different than it had before. It apparently was not immediately recognizable. Now, for those of you that come on Sunday nights, we looked at this in depth through our study of John, and this might be a little bit of a repeat for you, so I apologize for that, but that got me really thinking about how important this is and what I wanted to focus on this morning. And some will argue with this and say, well, that there were other reasons why people did not recognize Jesus right away rather than the actual appearance of his body. But I really think that it had to be this way. The Bible tells us that the resurrection of Jesus is the first fruits of those who have died in the Lord. That means that so just as the body of Jesus was raised and glorified, so we too have the assurance that our bodies will one day be raised up and glorified and made never to die again. Whether the Christian's body is destroyed or mutilated or cremated or whatever, God has proven through the resurrection of Jesus that he is able to raise it back up again and to renew it to be fit for eternity. So that raises some questions. It's quite obvious so that when this happens to us, when our bodies are raised up and we are given new glorified resurrected bodies, bodies that will never die, that those bodies are not going to look just like we did when we died. I mean, will someone who died at age 98 look like they're 98 for all eternity? Or will someone who died as an infant appear to be an infant forever in heaven? Or will Christians who might have physical deformities, will they possess those deformities in heaven, even though we would not be able to recognize them here on earth without those deformities? Of course not. I don't believe that for a minute. Whatever our glorified bodies are going to look like, it's safe to say that they're going to look different than our bodies do now. And most of us say, praise the Lord for that. Well, what happened with Jesus clearly indicates that even though his body looked different, that it was still possible to recognize him and to relate to him. And that assures us that even though we will look differently in heaven, that we Christians will still be able to recognize each other and we'll still be able to relate to one another in heaven. And that is because that recognition will be on a spiritual basis. As we look at different incidents in which Jesus appeared in his resurrected form, we see a consistency in what happened. He was not immediately recognized, but then something happened that enabled people to recognize him. So I'd like to examine some of these incidents and to put forth to you today that in the same way that some people recognized Jesus when he rose from the dead, we are able to recognize him today. And therefore, we are able to say that we know him, even though we have not seen his actual body. Therefore, that's why I say that it is only your belief in the resurrection of Christ that enables you to say that you know him. And as the Apostle Paul says, that's our main objective as believers, to know him. Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. So as we read scriptures, we see that it was Mary Magdalene who first had the privilege of witnessing the resurrected body of Jesus. We read about this in John chapter 20, verse 10. It says, then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. When Jesus said her name, Mary suddenly realized who he was. Some say, well, she just didn't get a good look at him, or she just wasn't expecting it to be Jesus, and that's why that she thought that he was a gardener or something. But I believe that she just did not recognize him until he spoke her name. And then she knew without a doubt that this was Jesus. She called him Rabboni, her name for him, meaning teacher. And then she went to the disciples with absolute conviction, saying, I've seen the Lord. In the same way, you and I can say that we know Jesus because we have recognized his voice when he called us by name to follow him. Others might be able to say that they know a great deal about Jesus, or even that they believe that he was the promised Messiah whom God sent to die for the sins of all humanity. But only those who know him can recognize his voice. Only those who have walked with him and spent time with him can realize that Jesus has called them to belong to him. Jesus said this himself in John 10, verse 1. says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And skipping on to verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now to those who did not believe, he said in verse 25, Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. See, if you know Jesus, then you know his voice. Spiritually speaking, you heard him call you by name to follow him. And you hear him speak to you when you pray. You hear him speak to you when you study his word. You know him, and he knows you. You know he's alive because you've heard his voice. Another incident when Jesus appeared to people was on the road to Emmaus. We read about this in Luke 24, verse 13. It says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Now these men were leaving Jerusalem following the Passover celebration and following, of course, the crucifixion that had taken place, with many questions in their minds about Jesus, and they were filled with confusion and doubt about the one that perhaps they had hoped to be their Savior and Messiah and Deliverer. And now Jesus was with them, even though they didn't know it. And Jesus explained to them in detail why the crucifixion had to take place. And he walked with them and he talked with them for a long time. And the story continues in verse 28. It says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Again, their ability to recognize the resurrected body of Jesus depended on spiritual things. After spending time with Jesus, after hearing him explain spiritual truths, after expressing their desire for him to stay and to be with them, take bread, giving thanks and breaking it. The Bible says that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Jesus then disappeared, but they were certain, with no doubt whatsoever, that it had been Jesus who had broken bread with them. They got back to Jerusalem as fast as they could. It says the day was almost over, but they went anyway. That they found the disciples. They told them what had happened. They said, it's true. The Lord has risen. He has appeared to Simon. Evidently, Simon Peter was the only one of the disciples who had seen Jesus at this point. In Mark, we read that Jesus told Mary to specifically tell Peter about the resurrection. And in 1 Corinthians, we read that Christ had appeared to Peter individually. So we can surmise that Peter had seen the resurrected Christ, and he was telling people about it, but they weren't sure whether to believe him. And now we have these two men on the road to Emmaus to confirm the fact that Jesus was alive. Now, some might say that the men on the road to Emmaus did not recognize Jesus because they had never seen him before, and they would not know what he looked like. But we see that they had just been in Jerusalem. They had just been in contact with the people that were close to Jesus. They had seen where all these things had taken place. They most certainly would have seen Christ, who had been at the center of public attention for the whole last week. They were obviously close enough to the situation to have been in contact with the women who had been at the tomb and claimed that Jesus was alive. They had apparently heard of Peter's testimony, and they also had quick access to the rest of the disciples. So, of course, they knew what Jesus looked like. But it was only after their spiritual eyes were opened that they could recognize the risen Christ. It was after having fellowship with the living Lord that they could discern the reality of his resurrection. In the same way, you and I can say that we know Jesus because we have fellowship with him. He's a friend who walks beside us every day. He's with us during the events of our everyday life. We've talked to him. He has revealed himself to us. He has taught us through his Spirit about the truth of his suffering and his death on our behalf. He has shown us that he is the fulfillment of all that had been written about the salvation for his people. We know that he intercedes for us. We know that he cares for us and that we can cast our every care on him. John writes in 1 John 1:3, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard," talking about the fact that they saw the risen Lord, "so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And then he says in verse 6, "If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth." You can tell if you know Jesus by how you live. If you have fellowship with him, then you recognize him as your personal friend. And it shows. If you have a close friend, and people know that's your close friend, and they will associate you with that person. You're often seen together, and people know that you get along well. And people figure that you will know what's going on with the other person. You know, you're like two peas in a pod. Probably a lot of you have friends like that. Well, if Jesus is your friend, that means that you know him, and people know that you know him by your lifestyle. You know Jesus is alive because you have fellowship with him. You know him, and he knows you. Now, after Jesus appeared to Mary and Peter, evidently, and after appearing to the men on the road to Emmaus, he then appeared to the rest of the disciples. And I'm going to wait a little bit and come back to that story. But next, I want to talk about a time that he appeared later to the disciples, and they were not able to immediately recognize that it was Jesus. We read about this in John 21. Starting with verse 1. "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. 'I'm going out to fish,' Simon Peter told them, and they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friends, haven't you any fish?' 'No,' they answered. He said, 'Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish you have just caught.' Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." Now, in this story, again, some people say it was because the fishermen were too far from shore to realize that it was Jesus talking to them. But it also says they were not that far from shore. About 100 yards may seem far, but they were close enough to have a conversation with this man. And if Jesus looked the same as he did before he died, then they still would have been able to recognize him from that distance, I'm sure. But no, it was the same Jesus in the flesh, but they were not able to recognize him by human means. It took a spiritual element to be able to recognize him. And even when they were right there beside him, verse 12 indicates that it makes it sound like they might not have been able to recognize him, even though they didn't question it. You know, why would it say that unless there would be some reason to question who it was? Jesus had called to them and suggested that they put their nets on the opposite side of the boat. And when they did so, they caught more fish than they could even haul in when they hadn't been able to catch anything before that. This had to bring back some memories to those fishermen disciples. Remember when Jesus first called them, he had first suggested to these professional fishermen who hadn't been able to catch any fish that they cast out into deeper water. And back then, Simon Peter was rather defensive at that point. He says, "Oh, look, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything." He was sure that he knew better than some carpenter about how to catch fish. But when he did it anyway, and he caught so many fish that then their nets all started to break, he was overcome. He fell to his feet and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve to be in your presence." And so it's no surprise now that when this man called from shore, telling them where they were to cast their nets, and in doing so they caught more fish than they could even carry, that it was John and Peter who immediately knew that this man was Jesus, even though they hadn't recognized him until that point. They recognized him now because of what he had done. And this time, Simon did not cower in fear at Christ's power and tell him to go away. This time, he threw on his clothes and he jumped into the water so that he could get to Jesus as fast as he could while the others brought in the boat. Peter couldn't wait for that. He knew it was Jesus because of what he had done. Well, you and I can also know Jesus because of what he's done. We can know that he's alive because he's changed our lives. He's entered into our hearts. We can say that we know him because we have experienced his forgiveness. We've experienced his love. We've experienced his provision. We can recognize his activity because it has become familiar to us. We've seen him do it before and continue to do it again and again. We can know Jesus and recognize Jesus in the same way that his disciples did that day, by spiritual means, because of what Jesus has done for us. You might know about Jesus. You might have learned about his miracles. You might have learned the lessons about his salvation. But when you understand what he has done for you, then you not only can know about him, but you know him. And you know that he's alive. Now I want to go back to the time that Christ first appeared to the disciples following his resurrection. Luke gives the most detailed account in the passage that Rita read for us, where she read that the disciples were together talking with the men who had seen Jesus on the road. And Mark tells us that the disciples did not believe them, nor had they believed Mary or Peter or the other women who had seen Christ earlier. But then, suddenly, Jesus was right there with them, standing among them. It's possible he could have snuck up on them without anybody hearing him, but it's much more likely that he just simply appeared. He had a physical body, a body which had been raised from the tomb, but this was no ordinary physical body. The disciples thought he was a ghost. And I don't think it was just because they thought he was dead, and now here he was standing before him, so it must be his ghost. I think it was because he suddenly appeared and they did not recognize who he was at first. But there was something definitely different about the person who stood before them than any other human being they'd ever seen. And Jesus assured them that everything was all right, that it really was him. But notice how he did that. You would think that if he was trying to get them to recognize him, that he would point to his face and say, "Hey, look, it's me." But that's not what he did. He pointed to his hands and his feet and said, "Look, it's me." They were able to recognize Jesus because of his scars. They knew that this was really Jesus risen from the dead because they saw his scars. Verse 41 says that they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement. They knew it was true. All right, but because of their joy and amazement, it took a while for it to truly sink in, and I think we can all understand that. And so Jesus asked for something to eat and proved that he was not some ghost or mirage by eating a piece of fish right there in front of them. And then he explained for them right there how all that had happened was according to God's plan to save them from their sins. And their minds and their eyes were opened. I'm sure they had no problem believing that this was really Jesus, even though he might not have looked the same. And then poor Thomas was not able to be there that day. They kind of beat up on Thomas, portraying him as the doubter and saying, "I'll never believe Jesus is alive until I actually put my fingers where those nails were." But don't you see what happened? The other disciples told Thomas about Jesus being alive and that they knew so because they saw the scars. And so, of course, Thomas would want to be able to see those same scars. Yes, he could have, and he should have believed without having seen. But it was the scars on the hands and the feet of Jesus that was the convincing factor for him. We, too, can know Jesus by his scars. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's talking about us. That's you and me. We are so blessed because we can know Jesus even though we have not seen him. And we can know him by his scars. In other words, have you decided to take what Jesus did for you on the cross and apply it to yourself? It's one thing to acknowledge that Jesus paid the penalty for sin and to acknowledge that he died as that substitutionary sacrifice for sinful humanity. It's another thing to say, "Those scars were for me. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and to make me a new person, a person that no one would be able to recognize if they knew me before. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name." You can know Jesus even though you have not seen him because his scars are still there. And what he did at Calvary still stands. In Revelation, John is told of the Lion of Judah, the root of David, who has triumphed and is able to open the scroll. And when he looks up, he sees not a lion, but a lamb, looking as if it had been slain. The perfect, unblemished lamb, the only one worthy to be the sacrifice for our sins, the only one capable to make us unblemished and to be able to stand perfected before the Lord, will forever bear the marks of his death, will forever be blemished. And one day we will see Jesus. We will see him face to face. What he will look like, I don't know. But I know that we'll be able to recognize him because his scars will still be there. And when he sees us, he just might hold out his hand and say, "Look, it's me." The all-important question of Easter, the all-important question of your whole life is really, do you know Jesus? You can know him. You can know him by his voice, since he is calling you by name to come and to follow him. You can know him by the fellowship that he offers, a vital, close friendship that you can enjoy every day. You can know him by what he has done for you. The change that he brings to your life is unmistakable, and it is recognizable. And you can know him by his scars, by asking God to accept the sacrifice that Jesus made for you, the sacrifice that will be forever evidenced by the nail prints on his hands and feet. Michael Card has written a brilliant song that conveys in a few words the message of this morning when he writes, "Mother Mary cried as she held heaven in her arms, for the shadow of the scar she saw was clear. As her own bewildered baby lay weeping for the world, whose frightened tears would free us all from sin. The marks of death that God chose never to erase, the wounds of love's eternal mark, when the kingdom comes with its perfected sons, he will be known by the scars. For a time he sought to tell the world he was the way, that God the Father had a human heart. With his own holy hands he sought to touch and heal their scars, but they chose to tear those gentle hands apart. No one was there to wipe away the tears that burned the holy eyes of God, as he looked upon his one and only Son, who'd never sinned or lied, yet was crucified. And after they had slain him and laid him in the grave, the ones he loved had fled into the dark. Then love and power raised him, and God won the victory. But they only recognized him by the scars." If you would like to know Jesus, the message of Easter is that you can. He's alive, and he's real, and he knows everything about you. And he wants you to know him, to really know him, not just to acknowledge that he exists or to believe the right things about him, but to know him. And I implore you, would you give him your life today?